First of all, in terms of Gaza, I think we have to understand a little bit. You know, I want to just say a few words to add to what he said in terms of why Gaza happened and what it means. I think the first thing about Gaza was that Israel is instrumentalizing the Palestinians. And this is really interesting. That is, you know, as a settler colonial movement, and what's important here, and we have to really develop this discourse, settler colonialism is a very powerful analysis. It actually began in Australia with Patrick Wolfe and Lorenzo Vercini and others, as you know. And so when Lisa opened by acknowledging the indigenous land that this conference is held on and so on, and linking it to the Palestinians, that's really a very close link. I mean, it isn't just some academic link. It's an actual political link that unites us, because both Australia and Zionism, and of course South Africa. So in a sense, you know, that brings, as Haider brought South Africa into the discussion, that too, all three of these are settler colonial societies, not to mention the United States as well. So settler colonialism really becomes a central element that unites the struggles. And to the degree that that South Africa was fairly successful, and that in Australia it's ongoing, and here there's an ongoing struggle, you know, means that settler colonialism has become a very relevant part of the discourse. The problem has been until now, for the last 20 years, that it's been confined to the academic circles. You know, there's a lot of discussion about settler colonialism. There's journals about it. There's articles about it. But it's only in the last, I would say in the last 6 months or maybe a year, that it's begun to percolate into the popular discourse, the public discourse, settler colonialism. I just wrote a book, my latest book that just came out, deals with that. And it really is trying to present the One Democratic State Campaign's program. It's called Decolonizing Israel, Liberating Palestine, Zionism, Settler Colonialism, and the Case for One Democratic State. So that, you know, I think what we have to start doing more and more is to explain to people what settler colonialism means. In other words, it's great that this concept is going through. That's a breakthrough. And as Haider said, its importance is it's reframing the entire thing, because this isn't a conflict. We keep talking about the Arab-Israeli conflict or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It's not a conflict. Conflicts have sides, right? And we're always talking about both sides. Both sides should end the violence. Both sides should this or that. And there aren't both sides. Settler colonialism is unilateral. There is no other side. They're not asking the indigenous population. They're not negotiating with the indigenous population. Indigenous population doesn't count. It has no rights. There is no side. And we have to remember that in terms of this struggle as well. Because the whole idea that we can negotiate, we can use a conflict resolution mechanism to resolve a settler colonial issue is wrong. It just doesn't work. And that's, we've seen that for the last 30 years that this approach hasn't worked, because there aren't two sides. Israel, until today, from its inception of Zionism 125 years ago until this moment, has never recognized the existence of a Palestinian people, not to mention its national rights. And it can't, because that would undercut the exclusive settler claim, Zionist claim, to the entire country. So once we begin to understand the logic of settler colonialism, its logic and its structures, and that's what we have to get out to the general public more and more, that's what gives us the ability to understand the actual problem. The problem is not negotiations. The problem is not both sides. The problem is not the problem is, you know, that a settler movement, Zionism, has come to Judaize. That's the term it used, to transform an Arab country into a Jewish country, and has done it largely. It succeeded until we've gotten today where we are, which is really an apartheid regime. And as Haider says, and this is really an important point, there already is one country. The whole issue of one state, two states is gone. De facto, between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River, there's already a single country. You can't get into this country through any borders without going through Israeli border controls. There's one effective army. There's one effective government. There's one economic system. There's one settlement system. There's one infrastructure. There's one water system, electrical system. By any measure, this is already one country. So our task is clear from our point of view, at least. And that is to transform a single apartheid regime that Israel created into a democratic state of equal rights for all its citizens. So this is the problem with settler colonialism, of course, is that resistance is inevitable and resistance is permanent. In other words, what the settler colonial project tries to do is, after a very violent process of suppressing the indigenous population and taking its land, the idea is, all right, now we're going to present ourselves as a normal country. And what we want is, when people think of Israel, for example, they think of Israel as the beaches, gay Tel Aviv, a normal Jewish country. We're coming here to see, you know, the temple, where the temple was and all of this, and not think at all of Palestinians, to erase, to eliminate the Palestinian presence or the Arab character of the country whatsoever. That's really the process. And part of that process is not only erasing the Palestinian presence, but it's instrumentalizing it. In other words, Israel hasn't managed to get rid of the Arabs. You know, the majority population of this country today is Palestinian. It hasn't managed to eliminate resistance. So what it does by instrumentalizing Palestinians is that it's criminalized resistance by erasing any kind of political context, so that Gaza is not a political thing. Gaza is a Hamas terrorist movement throwing rockets on Israel just because they hate Jews. That's the framing, you see. And so what that does by erasing and eliminating the political context, the settler colonial context, the foundational violence that Israel committed against the Palestinians by displacing them and taking their land, it decontextualizes and criminalizes, so that all Palestinian resistance simply becomes terrorism. And of course, that has tremendous traction in the world. And so that's what really part of Gaza was to instrumentalize Hamas by presenting it as a criminal terrorist movement, and therefore bolstering Israel's claim that it has a right to defend itself. But, and under that cover, of course, comes the occupation, which becomes a part of Israel as well. That's part of it. A second part of Gaza, by the way, has to do with I wrote another book called War Against the People, where I say that Gaza, especially, and also the West Bank, is really a laboratory for Israel perfecting and developing weapon systems, surveillance systems, military technologies of repression that it then exports. So in many ways, actually, Gaza, the whole Gaza attack of those 11 days was a military exercise. It was a testing of all kinds of new equipment. Haider mentioned some of it. I mean, high phosphorus weapons, but also F-35s, new navigating systems, new tactics, and so on, that are then, the whole issue of the tunnels, you know, a whole tunnel technology that was developed, that's then exported. So it had little to do with actually Gaza itself. It had to do with using Gaza, instrumentalizing Gaza in order to promote a military industry. And one other thing behind Gaza, of course, was the election, the Israeli election. And that's also a context where Netanyahu who's facing a new government that's not quite in place yet, but this week we should have a new government, a right-wing government, but nevertheless getting rid of Netanyahu, which is its only agenda. So Netanyahu is trying to instrumentalize not just Palestinians, but religion in order to create an atmosphere in which the Islamic Party will not join the new government. And that's where the attacks on Sheikh Jarrah happened, the attacks on Al-Aqsa, culminating in the attack on Gaza. In other words, the best way from the most powerful way for Netanyahu to polarize, especially an Islamic party, is by attacking religion, by attacking religious sites. And that was in order to create an atmosphere in which the Islamic party can never join any Israeli government, not only Netanyahu's, but also the opposition. And without the Islamic party, then we're facing another round of elections. And that's what Netanyahu wants, because as long as he can keep elections going, he can stay in power forever. So that's a little bit about the background of Gaza. But again, using Gaza and using these attacks as a way of elaborating the idea of settler colonialism and the logic of all. In other words, we have to help people interpret and understand these specific events that happen according to the logic of settler colonialism. They're not unexpected. They're not unexplainable. They fit into a pattern, and we have to help people understand that pattern. Now, I want to say one more thing in the couple minutes I have left, and that is that, and I want, again, echo what Haider said. ICAD, my organization, the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, has always been political. We fight house demolitions on the ground. We resist. We rebuild homes, of course, of Palestinians that have been demolished by Israel. But we're always political. The issue is not house demolitions. The issue is using house demolitions as a vehicle for exposing how the occupation works, what Israel's intentions are, as a leverage point for fighting occupation and fighting what's going on. So we've always been political. And over the years, of course, our political agenda was the two-state solution. That was accepted by the PLO in 1988. And that was maybe for 10, 15 years, the main agenda. It's been clear now for at least the last 10, maybe 20 years, if not more, that the two-state solution is not only gone, but again, if we get into the settler colonial analysis, we understand that there never was a two-state solution, because the Zionism came with the purpose of Judaizing the entire country, not 78% of it. So the very idea that a Palestinian state based on Palestinian rights would be established in the heart of our biblical homeland is ridiculous. So we can't say the two-state solution is dead. We have to say the two-state solution never was. And therefore, the only way out of a settler colonial situation, like I said, not negotiations or conflict resolution, the only way out is decolonization, dismantling the structures of control and domination that exist, including, as Haider mentioned, colonization of the mind, and replacing that apartheid occupation colonial system with a new system, a new polity that's based on equal rights for everyone and the right of return of refugees. And again, the importance of the settler colonial analysis is that it expands our view. Over all these years, really we've been talking about occupation and the occupation. That's been the mantra. But the occupation is only 22% of historic Palestine. What about the other 78%? So that what settler colonialism does is it expands our view, as Haider was saying, to the entire country. The problem is the entire country. And we have to decolonize, and we have to have a political solution. We cannot be in a political struggle without a solution, without a political program, without something to mobilize around. And I want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to stop within my 15 minutes. And that is, that like South Africa, the Israeli Jews are not going to be partners in dismantling their own system of apartheid. Why would they? They're enjoying the rule, the access to all the resources. They're on top. Why would they want to dismantle it? And governments are not on our side yet. And so like South Africa, the Palestinians have one strong, powerful ally, and that's you, the international civil society. What the ANC did in South Africa was bypass the white population there. It bypassed the de Klerk government, the apartheid government, and it went directly to the international civil society, the people, churches, trade unions, university groups, political groups, human rights groups. You know, all of us of a certain age were engaged in the anti-apartheid movement. And where it was different from BDS, and here I disagree a little bit with Haider, is that the ANC, the anti-apartheid movement, always had an end game. The end game was one person, one vote. That's what we were fighting for, everybody in the world. And when Mandela had to come up against de Klerk with all kinds of suggestions of power sharing and this and that, he had an end game that he could stick with and eventually achieve. We don't have that. You know, the two-state solution is gone. There's a vacuum. There's a void, which leaves all of you abroad. You might be supporting Palestinian rights. You do BDS. You do a very important campaigns. What you're doing is important. But without an end game, you're floundering. What are we selling? What are we BDSing for? And those three elements are important, but they're not a political program. And so I think what the One Democratic State campaign is trying to do, me and Haider and the others, is to insert a political program, an end game into our struggle that empowers all of us. And with that focus and that direction, and you on our side, we'll be able to change government policies towards Israel. Because I think Israel has, even though Israel's strong with governments, it's lost the support of the public, of the people. And we have to build on that. But the only way we can build on that effectively is by advocating for a political solution. And the only political solution that will resolve a settler colonial issue is decolonization and the establishment of a single democratic state over all of historic Palestine.